Welcome back to Between the Bar Lines. I'm your host, Dr. Maeve Barry. Today we have a really fun episode where I'm basically going to summarize what was happening in the 19th century in opera world. Opera became more than entertainment during this time. It became a mirror of political upheaval, national identity, and human passion. From Italian bel canto to the landscapes of Wagner, 19th century opera redefined what it meant to tell stories through music. So let's begin where the century starts, with a style known for its beauty, elegance, and vocal brilliance. And this is called bel canto. In the early decades of the 19th century, Italian opera was ruled by three people, and these people were Rossini, Bellini, and Donizetti. Their style was this bel canto style, literally meaning beautiful singing. Operas like Rossini's Barber of Seville and Bellini's Norma, and also Donizetti's Lucia di Lammermoor, are filled with long arching melodies and vocal runs and cadenzas. But as the 19th century progressed, audiences wanted more than just beauty. They wanted opera to evolve with the times, aka this romantic era that we were entering. And there was one composer who gave all of the emotion and drama to them, and that was Giuseppe Verdi. So Verdi was more than a composer, you could say. Scholars say he was basically a national hero. In Italy, it was still at this time struggling to become unified. His operas became symbols of freedom and identity for that country. So from Nabucco to Rigoletto, La Traviata, and Aida, Verdi was giving opera a new voice and therefore a new power. His characters weren't gods or kings. They were true humans, flawed, passionate. They were outcasts, lovers, and revolutionaries. Verdi's music captured this changing world that was evolving in this century. His orchestras were much richer than past orchestras, the harmonies were darker, and his sense of drama was even more emotional. In his later works like Otello and Falstaff, he even fused the Shakespearean depth with Italian lyricism, making these operas that feel as modern today as they did in the 1880s. Meanwhile, across the Alps, another revolution was taking place, and this time it was in Germany. We've already heard a little bit this season about Richard Wagner, and we might have even heard this word. I'm pretty sure I've said this word before. But Wagner believed that opera should be a Gesamtkunstwerk, or meaning a total work of art, uniting music, poetry, and the stage. This vision changed everything from then on. He abandoned the old structure of separate arias and recitatives that we hear in the Baroque and even in classical opera and even in some of our bel canto operas as well. Instead, he created something called endless melody, where music flowed continuously, woven together by things called leitmotifs. So these are recurring musical themes that represent characters, objects, or ideas. He kind of really took this to the next level. In operas like Tristan and Isolde, The Flying Dutchman, and also The Ring Cycle, Wagner builds these humongous sound worlds that help tell the story. And it's really a cosmic scale comparatively to any other opera that we hear. And if you're hoping to hear some type of cadential movement anywhere in any of his operas, think again. So, even though Italy and Germany were kind of dominating this scene, France also had its own operatic world. The 19th century saw the rise of grand opera, led by Giacomo Meyerbeer, with spectacular productions full of humongous choruses, ballet scenes, and historical subjects. Now, you're probably wondering, Giacomo Meyerbeer, that doesn't sound like a French name. And you're right. He was actually a German opera composer. Just a little bit about Meyerbeer, as we won't have a specific episode dedicated to just him. He is considered this person who really took French grand opera and made it what it was because of his opera Robert le Diable, or Robert the Devil. And this was regarded as one of the first grand operas at the Paris Opera. So that's pretty cool. He also has another work, Les Huguenots, that is another example of grand opera, still not by a French composer. But nonetheless, these operas were the blockbusters of their time, and they were massive. Later composers like Charles Gounod, who composed Faust, and Georges Bizet, who did the beloved Carmen, were able to bring this new emotional realism to the stage in French opera. As the century drew to a close, opera turned its gaze away from talking about gods and noble people to the struggles of everyday people. Now, we kind of saw this in Mozart, but it became more popular in this era because this movement was called the Verismo movement, which literally means truthfulness. And it began in Italy with a special opera that I love by Pietro Mascagni called Cavalleria Rusticana. And ultimately, this Verismo period reached its heights with the operas of Giacomo Puccini. So, we're going to have an episode about Puccini, but his operas, some of my favorites, La Bohème, Tosca, Madama Butterfly, and we also have Turandot. They are combining this raw human emotion with, quite literally, the lushest cinematic orchestration that has been heard to date within music. And so through Puccini, opera became not just a spectacle, but also an emotional experience that everyone could understand. And if you know La Bohème, I mean, not a quintessential story, but quintessential opera, where it's easy to understand the love story between Mimi and Rodolfo, and also the love story, or lack thereof, between Marcello and Musetta, and how it all kind of pans out in the end. By 1900, opera had become the ultimate expression of this 19th century. It absorbed all of the Romantic era's ideals and made them into the sound that we know as this century. The innovations of all of the aforementioned composers paved the way for everything that came after. This includes Strauss, Debussy, and even the modern stage. But what unites them all is the belief that music and drama together can express what words alone never could. Opera has always been an art of emotion, and the 19th century gave that emotion new form and power that created works that still move us today. Next episode, we are going to talk more about bel canto opera and its composers. We'll look at some techniques that were used. We'll talk about the vocal acrobatics that it takes for one singer to sing a role in one of these operas, and I hope that you will continue to join me for the next few episodes, because we will be stuck on opera for a little bit. Join me next time on Between the Bar Lines.